All right, Rabbi, we'll say good morning. Let us begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem, a beautiful daf ahead of us. Today's daf is Chof Aleph 21, and we are picking up... Okay, we have a lot to do today. We are picking up on the middle of the daf, Chof Aleph Beis 20b, and we're picking up with Tashma, I believe is where we left off. It's about 2... 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 8, a lot of lines up from the bottom, right? Probably about 25, 30 lines up from the bottom. Right in the middle, if you see Tosis Balkeri, go across there in the Gemara, about 4 lines down. Was that where we left off? We'll say our share this morning is dedicated, Baruch Hashem, a number of sponsors. The shiur this morning is dedicated by the Ox family of Teaneck, New Jersey, in memory of Pinchas ben Aryeh Yehuda. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. Shiur is also dedicated this week, by the Weissman family, the Weissman children, in honor of the birthday of their matriarch, Pam Weissman, and dedicated by her children in recognition of her commitment to Derech Eretz and to Talmud Torah. We wish Pam an incredible happy birthday and Arichos Yomim, Amev Esim Shanim Tovos. And to thank, of course, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves, Shirley Elbaum, together with her sons Avron, Sean, and Judah Elbaum, and their families, for dedicating all of the Shiurim this month in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, and in commemoration of his 10th year. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So if you remember again, we left off with the interesting discussion about whether or not women are chayavos in Birkas HaMazon, D'oraisa, or D'rabbanan. And the Gemara explained that the nafkamina, the practical difference for that is, do they have the ability to be motzi others, right? If a woman is a D'oraisa, then ultimately, again, she could go ahead and be motzi a man who is also D'oraisa. If, on the other hand, she is a D'rabbanan, so although technically speaking, she may be able to be motzi other D'rabbanans, she won't be able to be motzi a man who is a D'oraisa. So Tashma, so it's an interesting Gemara. So Tashma, be'emes amru, in reality, the rabbis said, Ben Mevarech La'aviv, Ve'evin Mevarech La'rabo. A son could go ahead and make a bracha and be motzi his father. The Rabbi Yosef Rashi points out over here that this is talking about Birkas HaMazon La'aviv, Im Ein Aviv Yodea Levarech. If let's say a son, well, father doesn't know how to bench, the son does know how to bench, the son could bench out loud and be motzi his father. Ben Mevarech La'aviv, Ve'evin Mevarech La'rabo. Similarly, again, a servant has the ability to be motzi his master. Ve'isha mevareches labayla, and a woman could go ahead and make a bracha and be motzi her husband. Aval amru chachamim tavo me'era la'adam sha'ishto ubanav mevarechin lo. But the rabbi said, cursed be the man, or let a curse come upon a man whose wife and whose children have to be motzi him in brachas. So we'll say, so the idea being over there, that it sounds like what it's saying is, although technically speaking, a wife could be motzi a husband, and even it sounds like a son, a child could be motzi his father, Tavol of Me'ira, curse should come upon such a person who has to come to this. What we'll say, what does that mean? That if a man is relying on his wife, ultimately again to be motzi him, or is relying on his child to be motzi him, the Pashas, the Gemara understands that to mean that he doesn't know how to do it himself. And shame on him that he has not learned how to make brachas, that he has not learned how to go ahead and recite Birkas HaMazon, that he has not educated himself to the point that he could do this, that he has to rely on his wife, that he has to rely on his child. To which the Gemara says, "I amrik b'shlama d'oraisa, asi d'oraisa mafik d'oraisa." If you say that a woman has a chiyuv d'oraisa Birkas HaMazon of benching, then it makes sense why the Braisa here says that she could be motzi her husband. But if she is only obligated to be Rabbanan, could she be motzi her husband who is a Doraisa? To which the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why this doesn't make sense. According to your reason, remember again, included in this same Braisa regarding a wife being motzi her husband is what? Is a child being motzi his father. Now, Bipashtos, a child, ultimately, again, is a katan. So how could it be that a katan is being motzi his father? Rather, what must be the case? The case must be that halacha lemaisa, we're talking about a case where the father, well, so remember again, we'll see this later on in the Gemara, but benching sometimes is d'oraisa, sometimes is d'rabbanan. If you eat to the point that you are sated, then it's d'oraisa. If you only eat, let's say, a kezayis of bread, it's d'rabbanan. So we could be talking about a case over here where the father only ate a kezayis. He's only chayiv midrabanan. And because he's chayiv midrabanan, so his son, his child, who is also only chayiv midrabanan, has the ability to be motzi him. But then ein achinami, it doesn't bring a raya that a son, or for that matter, a wife, is chayeves midoraisa. So the Gemara essentially says that the proof itself is inconclusive. So we'll say, but so interestingly enough, halacha lamaisa, so what do we say when it comes to birkas hamazon? So we'll say, so the halacha by birkas hamazon is that we assume that a woman is, in fact, chayeves midoraisa. That halacha lamaisa, that a woman assuming that she eats to the point of satiety will be chayaves just like a man. There's no distinction there between their respective obligations. So we'll say, so the Gemara goes weiter and says something quite beautiful over here. So the Gemara says, Darasha Avira, Zimna Amr Yoshid Rabbi Ami, Vizinin Amr Mishmeid Rabbi Asi. So we'll say, Rabbi Avira Darshan as follows. And sometimes the name Rabbi Asi, sometimes the name Rabbi Asi. Amr Malachi Hashem's name Kaddish Baruch Hu. The angels say to God, Kaddish Baruch Hu, it says in your Torah, It says in your Torah that you will not go, lo yisa panim means you will not show favoritism and you will not take a bribe. But you do show favoritism to the Jewish people. We'll say, what does the pasuk Yisa Hashem panav means literally what? God will lift his face to you. Which the Gemara understands over here, Nesias Apayim ultimately is this idea of favoritism. So on one hand, the pasuk says that God won't show favoritism. But here the pasuk says God does show favoritism. So what's going on? We'll say, this is so beautiful. Amr Lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the Malachim, V'chilo Esa panam Yisrael. How could it be that I shouldn't favor, that I shouldn't show favor to the Jewish people? After all, the pasuk says that when do you bench? You only have to bench when? When you eat and you are sated, right? Savata, you feel sated. So yet, and yet, the Jewish people are medaktik with themselves, even if they only eat a small amount. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how could I not show favor to such a people, even though they are technically only obligated to bench, if they eat a meal, right? And if they are truly satiated, yet what do? Even with a much smaller amount, they go ahead and they recite Birkas HaMazon. Such an incredible, incredible idea. So we'll say, what does this mean? So I saw a beautiful idea. I forgot to print it out, but I have the scan of it. So there is a magnificent idea by the Teferet Shlomo, of Shlomo Radomsk. He says the following. I'm going to read to you. He says, Ina kavana bazeh, mash machmir alein b'mitzvah. You see, I will say, when you read this, it sounds like, what is God so impressed by? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so impressed by the fact that we're machmir, right? We're stringent on ourselves, and even though I only really have to bench when I eat to the degree of being satiated, nevertheless, we bench even with if I eat a much smaller amount. So Teferet Shlomo says, this is not a din. This is not a din in Chumras. Listen to his words. He says, Ela, mashemechavavim umachshivin es matanoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umeirov ahavosam elav heimodim umeshamchim oso. Afilu ba'ad matana mu'etes kizu. Umevarachim azal birkas amazon. Vishore be'enehem. Sorry, vishore be'enehem. Kilu kiblu matana gidola ma'od. Lachin gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosei lahem panim. Boses, it says the Teferet Shlomo something so beautiful. What does it mean that we bench even on a very small amount? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to bench when you're sated. Right, you have to bench when you're full. That's the biblical obligation. We bench even when we're not full. Why is that? So the Teferet Shlomo posits, HaKadosh Baruch Hu figured, what is benching? Benching is an act of gratitude. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu assumes, when do people have gratitude? When they receive something significant. Right, when I get something significant, that's when I express my gratitude. And yet, what does Klal Yisrael do? We bench even for a very small amount. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't just appreciate the big things. We appreciate the little things as well. Even for the little kizayis of bread. Even for the little, yes, for the 7-course meal. Of course, everyone has incredible hakaras. Everyone has incredible gratitude. But my gratitude, I will say, is not just for the big things in life. My gratitude is for the little things. When we bench, even on a kizayis, on a kibetza, I'm expressing my gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the little things day in and day out. And I will say how much, so much of a happy life is built into is intertwined with this concept. You see, so often we only experience simcha and feelings of gratitude when big things come our way. But the ability to perceive the Yad Hashem, the hand of God, and the ability to perceive Hashkacha, even in the Kizayis and the Kibetza, even in the smallest things, the ability to express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say in Moldim Va'ani Secha Shebechol Yom Yimanu, the miracles that you perform for us, the little miracles that you perform for us day in and day out, we'll say that is the key to life happiness, and that is the key to Dveikus, and that is the key to an ongoing connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Shalom says, if they have so much gratitude to me that they literally bench for a Kizayis and a Kibetza, how can I not show such a people dramatic favor? Says the Mishnah, Balkeri Mahar Belibo Ve'inam Avarech Lo Ufanev Lo Lacharab. So we'll say, here we go. A Balkeri. So Balkeri is a man who had a seminal emission. So we'll say, we're going to see, just so you should know, the primary sugya for this is going to be on Daf Chaf Vav. So we're going to do this sugya today, obviously, but some of the historical background we're going to leave for the later daf. But for our purposes, a man has a seminal emission. So the Mishnah says, essentially, after experiencing a seminal emission, a man is not permitted to engage in certain davening, learning. So Bal Keri Mahar Belibu. So Bal Keri, when it comes time to Shema, he's not permitted to say Shema until he goes to the mikvah. And therefore, again, when Zman Kriya Shema comes, ultimately, again, he goes ahead and he thinks Shema. Mahar Belibu means he cogitates on Shema. He doesn't make the brachas before Shema or after Shema. Fine. For benching, Rana's Huru site benching after he eats, but he does not make brachas before he eats. Rabbi Huda says no. Rabbi Huda says he makes brachas beforehand and afterwards. So both say, Rashi over here already points out over here. Ezra. So also remember again, it was Ezra who instituted this concept that if a man has a seminal emission, he is not permitted to go ahead and recite Shema or learn Torah. So the reason Ezra did this was, really, the Gemara says, Shelo yihu tamidi chachamim mitzuyin etzel nishosein kitarna golin. That ultimately, again, the Talmidei Chachamim should think before engaging in acts of intimacy. That if a man knows that he's going to have to go to the mikvah prior to going after being with his wife, so it just causes him to think about intimacy, when he should be intimate with his wife, when he shouldn't be intimate with his wife. And essentially what it does is it gets a person to think about, just to be aware, to be aware of what it is that they're doing. So many times in life, we just kind of go on autopilot and we just move forward. And sometimes in some very important areas of life, we just don't think and we just move forward. The idea of Takanas Ezra was to get a man to think. Be aware that what you do has ramifications, has implications. That, so again, like I said, we'll see this more in Daf Chava, but that's just the background. I'm a Ravina. So Ravina says, Zoso Meris, this teaches us that here her Kedibur Dami. But also this teaches us that obviously cognition, right, is the equivalent of speech. That when you think something, it's the equivalent of saying it. Why? Because remember again, what does the Mishnah say? A Baal Keri is not allowed to say Shema. But what does the Mishnah tell him to do? What tell him to do? Think Shema. Think Shema. So you see that cognition is the same thing as speech, to which the Gemara says, because again, if cognition wasn't like speech, then why would the Mishnah tell me to think Shema if I'm a Balkari? Meaning if cognition is irrelevant, then just leave me alone. So therefore, what do you have to say? You have to say that here, her cognition is just like speech. But if that's the case, Yotzi Bisvasav. So if that's the case, that cognition is the equivalent of speech, then what? Then what? Just say it. Just say it. In other words, if you're effectively doing the same thing, then just say Shema. To which the Gemara says, Kida Ashkechon B'Sinai. Because ultimately, again, Ezra models his takano over that which occurred by Har Sinai. What happened in Har Sinai? Look at Rashi. Kida Ashkechon B'Sinai. Shefishan mi'isha d'chsiv al-tikshu al-isha. Va'pirsha zu samach Ezra l'takin t'vila l'bali keryon. Kodem shiaska b'torah. D'chsiv al-datan l'vanecha. V'samich le yom ha-shamat al-fanem l'shalacha b'chori. We'll see that later on. So we'll see the idea of it, says the Gemara. Because ultimately, Ezra modeled his takana based on Har Sinai. Just like before Sinaitic revelation, before Kabbalah Satorah, so men had to separate from their wives, right? A man cannot be a Balkari, cannot have experienced a seminal emission, right, by Har Sinai. So men had to separate from their wives for 3 days prior to Kabbalah Satorah. So just like, again, there, by Har Sinai, it was Amira, it was speaking. So to Ezra's Takana, Ezra's enactment is modeled in the same way. Therefore, a Balkari is not permitted to say Shema, but he's permitted to think Shema. To which the Gemara says, fine. Rav Chista, says, here are lav kedibur dami. Not true. Cognition is not like speech. How do I know this? Di sagadai tcha hear her kedibur dami. Because if you think that cognition is like speech, yotzi b'svasav, then ultimately, again, let him just say shema. Elamai, hear her lav kedibur dami. Rather, you have to say what? That cognition is not like speech. If that's the case, lama maharher. So we'll say if cognition is not like speech, then what is the point of thinking about shema if essentially it's a meaningless act? I'm Rabbi Lazar, Kadesh Yokola Olam Oskim Bovu Yoshevu Batra. Most of this is incredible. Why? Because what don't we want? What we don't want is that everyone else is saying Shema and the Baal Keri is sitting there doing nothing. That we don't want. Everybody's sitting there and saying Shema and the Baal Keri is saying nothing. That's then Rabbi say, what does it look like? It looks like a person is distancing themselves, separating themselves from the Tzibur. I benigros bepirka achrina. So why does the Valkyrie have to be maharher in Shema? Let him say something else. Amrav adabar ava bedavar shat sibur oskimbo. Because ultimately, Rav says, this is actually very interesting. So on one hand, so you have Rav Chista saying, hear her lav kedibur dami. Cognition is not like speech. And the truth is, the Valkyrie just doesn't say Shema because technically speaking, he can't. Again, so why do we have him? Why do we have him engage in a cognitive Shema? Right? Why does he cogitate on Shema? To which the Gemara says, because we don't want him to separate himself from the tzibur. The idea is that a person should be a member of the congregation, right? A person should be a member of the collective, and he shouldn't do things that ultimately set him aside. I tap of chafal fahari tefila davar shat tzibur oskinbo. Yet Rabbi say, what about tefila? General Shmona say, now we're switching gears for just a moment. So now what the Gemara just said over here is that halacha lemaisa, when the tzibur is doing something, don't separate yourself from the tzibur, right? Just don't be a person who breaks away. In other words, be part of the collective. So the Gemara says, okay, is that true? Vahari tefila, the davar shat tzibur oskim. Well, listen, when it comes to Shmona Esrei, the Tnan, hayomid b'tefila v'nizkar shu bal keri. Well, let's listen to this case. Let's say a person is in the middle of Shmona Esrei and he realizes that he had a seminary mission, not during Shmona Esrei. But again, ultimately, he realized that he was a bal keri beforehand. So the Gemara says, lo yafsik. He shouldn't go ahead and finish his Shmona Esrei. Rather, Elo what? I'm sorry. He should not interrupt his Shmona Esrei. Elo Yikatzer. Rather, what should he do? He should recite ultimately again a shortened form of Shmona Esrei. So in other words, he doesn't stop in his tracks. Rather, he just condenses his Shmona Esrei. Again, we'll see in the fourth parak about that in Havinenu. So the Gemara says, Taima da'asku. Now the truth is, the reason why ultimately, again, we tell him to be Mekatzer, to shorten his Shmona Esrei, is because he already began. Halo Aschil. The inference from this is what? That if a man remembered that he was a Balkari, he doesn't daven Shmona Esrei at all. So we'll say, so right, so here, now what's going to happen? Everybody's davening Shmona Esrei, and what? And what? The Balkari's not. So here you see that he's separating himself from the Kehila. To which the Gemara says, no. Shiny Tefila, Shmona Esrei is a little bit different. Deles be Malchu Shamayim. Because we'll say, Shmona Esrei doesn't have an acceptance of the yoke of heaven. Shema is different. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, if the Tzibor is reciting Shema, and you're not reciting Shema, that looks like you are separating yourself in a very dramatic way. The Tzibor here is accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're not engaging in that same acceptance. That fear, that the optics, those optics do not apply to Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, I have a hari birkas amoz on the achar of the lesbe malchus shamayim. Yeah, what about benching? Right, benching doesn't have any acceptance of the yoke of heaven. And yet what? Utnan ala mazum avarech la'acharav, ve'im avarech la'fanav. Yet Rabbi will say what? When it comes to birkas hamazon, when it comes to benching, we say that a Baal Keri recites benching. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Ella, kriyashma birkas hamazon da'araisa, utfila dirabonon. Rabbi will say, here's the simple distinction. The takana that a Baal Keri does not engage in davening or in Torah is a takana midrabbanon, is a rabbinic enactment. A rabbinic enactment does not have the ability to prevent you from fulfilling biblical obligations. Therefore, again, says the Gemara, reciting kriyashma is a biblical obligation. Reciting benching after you eat, assuming that you're full, is a biblical obligation. Shmona Esrei is a rabbinic obligation. So therefore, a Baal Keri, is going to go ahead and recite Shema. Again, the Mishnah says he's going to recite it through hirhur. He's going to recite it through cognition, and ultimately, again, not verbally. He'll recite Birkas HaMazon, but he will not daven Shmona Esrei. So I just want to say, just very quickly, this discussion over here about Hirur Kedibur Dami, Lav Kedibur Dami, is a fascinating discussion that the truth is we will find many times throughout Shas, the effectiveness, the impact, and the meaning of cognition. In general, we say hirhur lav kedibur dami. In general, we say that cognition, I mean, of course, what you think matters, but from a halachic legal sense, what you think matters very little. It's what you do that matters most. It happens to be that by Kriya Shema, there is a fascinating exception to this rule very quickly because we don't have time. And I'll just give you the Maram Mokum. The Maram Mokum is this is in Aruch Chaim Simen Samech Beis Sifkim. I think this is going to be in 2 weeks from now, the lunch and learn. I think I chose the topic already. What did I say this week is? I forgot. Okay, hopefully I'll remember by Monday. All right, so we'll say, so again, this is going to be in 2 weeks. So we'll say, so this is incredible. Remember, we paskin already, the halacha is that when you say Shema, tzarech lashmi'a la'ozno, right? Ideally, you have to hear what you're saying. The Shulchan Aruch writes, im machmas choli o machmas onis acher kare kriya Shema belibo yatsa. So the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that halacha l'maisa, if as a result of sickness or some other extenuating circumstance, you can't say Shema, and you think Shema, right? You cogitate on Shema, you are Yotze. You are Yotze. And the Rama says, you could employ this ultimately again if you're in an unclean place where you can't say Shema. So we see this concept, which is quite fascinating. Again, it's halacha that requires a lot more development, but there is this level of cognition through which you could be Yotze Shema. Now the Mishnah Berurah very quickly comments, and he says, you're not really Yotze. That's what he says. He says something very interesting. He says, what this represents, and I both said this is an incredible idea, in a situation where ultimately, again, you can't say Shema for whatever the reason, essentially what the halacha is, do the best you can. And the best you can in this case is cognition. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says, if your circumstances change and it is still Zman Kriya Shema, then what? You should go back and recite it. So there is this concept that cognition could work under certain extenuating circumstances. But and you're quote-unquote Yotze, but you're not really Yotze. You're Yotze to the best of your current abilities. But should you have the ability to actually articulate Shema, you would be obligated to go back and do so. So again, a very fascinating sugya, which in Mezuzah we'll cover at a future date. Amrav Yehuda. Minayin l'birchas ha'ozon l'acharei min ha'Torah. How do we know that benching is the oraisa? How do I know that? Shneimar v'yachalta v'savato v'rachto. Because the pasuk says, you will eat, you shall be sated, and you will bless. Minayin l'birchas ha'Torah l'fanei min ha'Torah. We'll say, how do I know? Birchas ha'Torah. This is actually quite amazing. And we'll get into this also. These incredible topics. Birchas ha'Torah, we'll say, that we recite every single morning. Now remember, we recite a lot of stuff as part of Birchas ha'Torah. So remember, that's been built up over the ages. But again, for our purposes, how do I know that there is an obligation to make a bracha prior to learning in the morning? Shene'emar, ki shema Hashem ekra, havugoda leilokeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu says, this is right before, this is the beginning of Parshas Ha'azinu. Before Moshe Rabbeinu sings the Shira of Ha'azinu, he says, when I call out the name of God, havugoda leilokeinu, ascribe greatness to our God, which the Gemara understands to mean that before you call out to God, before you learn Torah, make a bracha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lamadu birchas v'lacharei min ha'brachos ha'mazon mikal v'chomer. So I will say, now Rabbi Yochanan engages in an interesting exercise. So now what we've just established is as follows. I know that benching after I eat, right, making a bracha after I eat, is a d'oraisa, and going ahead and making a bracha before I learn Torah is a d'oraisa. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, you know what? He says, I think that you could learn out the obligation to make a bracha after learning, birchas ha'Torah after learning, from benching from a kal v'chomer. And I think you could learn out birchas ha'mazon l'farei min birchas ha'Torah mikal v'chomer. And you could learn out an obligation, ultimately, again, to bench before you eat. Right, the bench before you eat, you make a bracha before you eat from Birchas HaTorah, also from a Kal V'Chomer. So we'll say, what's the Kal V'Chomer? Here we go. Birchas HaLacharei Min Birchas HaMazon Min Kal V'Chomer. I can learn out an obligation to make Birchas HaTorah after I learn, and learn it out from benching, from a Kal V'Chomer. What's the Kal V'Chomer? Uma HaMazon Shein Ton L'Fon of Ton L'Acharov. Food, which does not biblically require a blessing before you eat, does require a blessing after you eat, biblically speaking. Torah, which does require a blessing before you engage, should certainly require a blessing afterwards. That's the Kavachomer. Similarly, I can learn an obligation to bench, to make a bracha before I eat biblically, right? Ultimately, again, from Birchas HaTorah. How so? Uma Torah, Shein Tu'una Lecharea, Tu'una Lefanel. So I say Torah, which does not require a bracha afterwards, does require a bracha beforehand. Mazon Shu Ta'un La'acharav, Inodin Shein Ta'un Lefanel. So food, which does require a bracha afterwards, should certainly require a bracha beforehand. So that's this Kavachomer, to which the Gemara is very nice, but Ika Lemifrach, it's not a good kavachomer, and I'll tell you why. We'll say two fundamentally different things. Malamazon, this is so profound. Malamazon shekeinene, umalatora shekein lechaye olam. We'll say, listen to this. You want to know the fundamental distinction between food and Torah? Mazon is great, right? Food is great, but it gives you temporal, limited hana, limited benefit. Torah is lechaye olam. Torah is eternal. I will say, isn't this an incredible thing? That ultimately, again, so many things in life, if you live life kind of with these categories, what are the things that give me temporal limited benefit? And what are the things that give me eternity? I will say, now again, to be clear, the things that give me limited temporal benefit, that doesn't mean they're bad, chas v'shalom, right? Food is good, food is necessary. It's not a question of good or bad, it's a question of what do you choose to put your kolchos into? Right? At the end of the day, there's a limited amount of time, there's a limited amount of energy, a limited amount of resources. What do you choose to invest yourself and invest your resources in? Do you choose to invest yourself and your resources into the things that ultimately, again, have a very limited ROI, right? A very limited return on investment. Their return on investment is olam hazeh. Again, it's good, there's nothing wrong with them, but it's a very limited return. Or do you invest yourself in the things that are chaye olam? The things that ultimately yield dividends that keep coming for all eternity. That's the decision we make every moment of life. Furthermore, we learned, furthermore, we have an explicit Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that midaraisa, there is only an obligation to recite benching, to make a bracha after you eat, but not before you eat. Good tiyufta. Therefore, that effectively refutes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Good Rabbi says, no kavachomer. And we are left with what? We are left with an understanding. Birchas hamazon, benching after you eat, is a biblical obligation. Birchas Torah before you learn is a biblical obligation as well. I'm going to review the most interesting case. Safek kara kriyashma, safek lo kara. What if someone's not sure if they said kriyashma or not? Right? So you say to yourself, how could such a thing like this happen? Right? So it happens pretty much every morning. Right? So I was like, I know I'm here, right? It's kind of like tefillin. I see the marks, like the evidence is here, so which means I wore them at some point in time. How long, what I said, so I know I'm sitting in my, I know that I closed my eyes. The shaila is, was that for Shema? Did I doze? Like, what exactly happened over here? So we'll say, so I say, Safi Krashma, Safi Kara Kriyashma, what's that halacha? Eino chozer v'korei. You don't have to go back and read it. However, Safik MS Vyatsiv, Safik Lo Amar, but I will say if there's a Safik about MS Vyatsiv, Choser Va'omer MS Vyatsiv. We'll say very interesting, Braisa. Statement of Rabbi Yehuda. If you're not sure if he said Shema, you don't have to go back. If you're not sure if he said MS Vyatsiv, you do have to go back. My time, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, what's your logic? Kriyashma Drabanon, MS Vyatsiv Doraisa. Wow. So in Rabbi Huda's model, Kriyashma itself is Dirabanan. And this, of course, this does not reflect the halacha as we have it. But in Rabbi Huda's model, Kriyashma is Dirabanan, is rabbinic. And if Rabbi Huda say in general, whenever you have a suffix, a doubt in rabbinic law, how do you resolve it? Lahakel, right? Lakula, leniently. So therefore, if I'm not sure if I said Shema, I have a doubt in rabbinic law, I don't have to go back and say it. But in Rabbi Huda's model, MS V'yatzev is Daraisa, is biblical. Whenever you have a doubt in biblical law, you have to resolve it, like the Chumrah, in a more stringent fashion. Therefore, you have to say it again. Master of Yosef, the Yosef contract says, what are you talking about? B'shach b'chav kumecha. The Pasuk says, by Shema itself, b'shach b'chav kumecha, that you have to say it when you go to sleep and when you get up, which tells that the recitation of Shema itself is a biblical obligation. Abai says, no. B'shach b'chav kumecha is actually not talking about Shema, but rather it's talking about what? The obligation to learn Torah. That every day I have an obligation to learn Torah when I go to sleep and when I wake up. So Tanan, we learned Bal Kari Mahara Belibo Vinam Barak Lofanav Lachara. A Bal Kari, a man of a similar mission. So he can't say Shema, he can't articulate Shema, but rather he thinks Shema. And he doesn't say the brachos before Shema or after Shema. Va'alamazma Barak Lachara Vinam Barak Lofanav. And by food, he can recite Birkas HaMazon, but he doesn't recite the bracha prior to eating. And Rabbi say, V'isakadaitcha emes yatsiv d'araisa, levarich acharel. La'acharel. To which the Gemara says, and if you say that emes yatsiv is d'araisa, then what? Then a Balkeri should say emes yatsiv. Or at least what? At least what? He should be maharher. He should cogitate, right? Ultimately on emes yatsiv. To which the Gemara says, if he's not emes yatsiv d'araisa, levarich acharel. My time of varich. So I will say, what's the reason? Ultimately, going emes yatsiv is so important. Im yishum yitzias mitzrayim ha'atkol bekriyashma v'neima ha v'lo libay ha. We'll say ultimately again. If it's so, I'm sorry. So what's the reason why emes yatsiv is so important? Is because emes yatsiv has a reference to the Exodus, has reference to yitzias mitzrayim. To which the Gemara says, but one second, we already mentioned the Exodus in kriyashma v'neima ha v'lo libay ha. So if that's the case, just say emes yatsiv and skip the third paragraph of Shema, to which the Gemara says, Kriyashma adifa de ispe tarti. Kriyashma is better than emes yatsiv. Why? Because Kriyashma, referring specifically to the third paragraph, ultimately, again, we're actually referring to Shema in totality, has a reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but also has what? Kabbalas ol machus shamayim. Right? It has the acceptance of the yoke of heaven as well. Rabbi Lazar says no. So we'll say this is all Rabbi Huda's model, and Rabbi Huda's model, Shema itself is drabanan, emes yatsiv is da'oraisa. Comes along Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Safek Kara Kriyashma, Safek Lo Kara, Chozer Vekore Kriyashma. So we'll say, Rabbi Elazar says, no. If you have a Safek, if you said Shema, you didn't say Shema, you go back and you repeat Shema. Conversely, Safek Hispalo, Safek Lo Hispalo, what happens if I'm not sure if I daven Shmona Esrei? Did I daven Shmona Esrei? Not daven Shmona Esrei. What's the halacha? Eino Chozer Mispalo. You don't go back and daven. Now, both saying, now this is a construct that we are familiar with. Why says Rabbi Elazar? What's his logic? Rabbi Elazar says Kriyashma is Doraisa, which is how we paskin. Kriyashma is Drabanan. Therefore, if you're not sure if you said Shema or not, Safik Doraisa Luchumra, right? A doubt in biblical law is resolved stringently. Therefore, you go back and you recite it again. Shmona Esrei is Drabanan. So therefore, if I'm not sure if I daven Shmona Esrei or not, then what? Then Halacha Lamaisa. Then Halacha Lamaisa, ultimately, again, I don't go back in daven. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to see this much more in the fourth chapter. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ulevai she yispalel adam kala olam kulo. Of course you go back in daven. Why do you go back in daven? Because halavai a person should daven the entire day. But we'll say, take a look at Rashi. This is incredible. Ulevai she yispalel adam kala olam. Ba'alochos gilos pasak alach Rabbi Yochanan. Be'safek v'halacha kishmo b'vada yispalel. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, again, the Gemara says over here, the Gemara says that the Bahag, the Bahag Halachas Gidolos, paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in a case of Safek, that actually a person can go back in Davin in a case of Safek. If you take a look at Tosis, Tosis says, Rabbi Yochanan Amr Levai Shispal Adam Kol Yom, his last Tosis, Omeri, Delech Rabbi Yochanan, Vedavka Besafek Hispalo, Avavadai Hispalo, Lo. So both say, listen to this, so Tosis says, the Halacha is as follows. If ultimately, again, you're not sure if you davened, so Tosfos says we should paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. You could daven out of doubt. Why can you daven out of doubt? Because halavai, a person should be davening the whole day anyway. You know, kiviyachol. So therefore, because it's always good to daven. So therefore, if you have a doubt if you davened, daven again. Daven again. If you're sure that you davened, then we don't just have people daven Shmona Esrei because they feel like it. So interesting ideas. You have Tosis and Rashi both saying that halacha lemaisa, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Safek. Now, truth is, there's more to this halacha. We'll see it more in the fourth chapter. This is where it comes into Tfilas Nedava. We'll get into it at a later date. Rami Yehudim Shmuel, Hayomid mis b'tfila v'nis kashe espalel. If a person is in the middle of Shmona Esrei and he realizes that he davened already, Shmuel says, "Could happen." Person davened Shmona Esrei, realizes, "Oh, I davened already." What's the halacha? Posek, you stop in your tracks. V'afilu be'emtza bracha. Ultimately, you stop in the middle, even in the middle of a bracha. Ini, is that so? V'hamar Rav Nachman ki avinan be'Rava Baravua ba'aminan. Yet Rav Nachman said, when we were in front of Rav Baravua, we asked him the following question: Hani b'nei be'Rav. So these guys in the yeshiva, they tow a mitkari dechol b'Shabbos. They started davening a weekday Shmona Esrei during Shabbos. Let's say this happens, right? A person davening a weekday Shmona Esrei during Shabbos. Maushi gamru. What should they do if halacha lemaisa they realize in the middle of the bracha, so Shmona Esrei, they realize that they're davening a weekday Shmona Esrei? Va'amarlan. And Rabbah said to us, gomrim ko osa bracha. They finish the bracha that they're in, and then they revert back to Shabbos Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, Rabbah says, so what do you see from here? Now, the Gemara is trying to compare these two cases, right? In case number, what did we say? A person's davening. In the middle of Shmona Esrei, they realize that what? Oh, I davened already. What's the halacha? Stop where you are. Middle of the bracha, stop where you are. Yet, interestingly enough, in case number two, which the Gemara thinks is comparable, it's Shabbos, I'm davening Shmona Esrei. I realize that I'm in the middle of Atachonin La'adam Das. Right? So what's the halacha, Bosei? What's the halacha? Finish the bracha. Transition ultimately again to Shabbos Shmona Esrei. But why is that? Why shouldn't I just stop in my tracks right there as well? To which Shmona Esrei says, it's incredible. Hachi, so the Gemara says, Hachi hashta asam gavra barchi yubhu. For Rabbanu hu d'lo dachirchu mishum kavod Shabbos. Aval hacha hotzali. Rabbanu says, this is actually quite interesting. Technically speaking, you should daven a complete Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. You should daven all 18 brachas on Shabbos. Chazal took it easy on us on Shabbos, right? Gave us a little bit of a respite, a shorter Shmona Esrei. So technically speaking, if you start saying the wrong bracha, a weekday bracha, the halacha tells you finish the bracha, because technically speaking, that is a proper Shmona Esrei. Just you don't have to say it. Masha Inkain, if I'm davening and I realize that what? I already davened, then that's, what does that mean, Rabbi? Say that Shmona Esrei that I'm davening now is what? Is inappropriate, unsanctioned, and illegal. Therefore, what do? Shut it down right then and there. Rami Yehuda Meshmuel. Hispal v'nichnas l'beis haknesses v'matzir shir shum hispalin. Both say, interesting halacha. Let's say you walk into shul and you find the tzibur davening. Yeah, both say, you davened already, but you find the tzibur davening. So what do? Im yachal l'chadish badavar yachzor v'yispalel. If, Rami say, you could introduce something new into your tefillah. I will say, what does this mean? It doesn't mean like a little jingle or something. You know, you start the, right? What it means, I will say, is if there's some unique request or something different that you could insert, something maybe you don't normally daven for, a bakasha, request, a supplication that you don't normally ask for, if you could insert something new and unique, which I will say we're going to see, was what's called a tfilas nedavi, a nedava, ultimately, again, a gift prayer. So then you could do so. Vim lav, al yachzor v'yispalel. But if you can't introduce anything new, then ultimately, again, don't go back in daven. So I'll say, ultimately, the Gemara feels that these two statements, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, are both a bit redundant. To which the Gemara says, Utsricha, I'll tell you why I need both of them. Diashmin and Kamaisa, had the Gemara just said the first statement, Hani mili yochid v'yochid. So I'll say, remember again, this is talking about the first case that we're referencing over here, is the case where I'm davening Shmona Esrei, and then what? I realize I davened already, so what's the halacha? Shut it down right then and there. So the Gemara says, had it just said that case, I would have said ultimately, again, that's the case of where everything is happening in private. Yachid v'yachid. Right? Tani mili yachid v'yachid. Oh, I'm with Beis Tzibor v'Tzibor. Or maybe, again, it's the context of the first tefillah was davened b'tzibur, and the second tefillah is now being davened b'tzibur as well. So I have two tefillahs of equal importance. That's when, if I realize that I davened already, shut it down right then and there. Aval yochel l'gabi tzibur k'man d'lo tzadem. I'm supposed to listen to this. But I might have thought, let's say I davened myself. And then again, I'm in shul. I come to shul. The tzibur is davening. I daven again with them. And then I realize, as I'm davening, that what? I davened already. So I will say, I might have thought that since this second tefillah is taking place in the context of a tzibur, it's such a more impactful tefillah, it makes my first tefillah meaningless. To which the Gemara says, Kamash lo, no. That halacha l'maisa, even if the first tefillah you davened was biyachid, and the second one is b'tzibur, if you davened already and recognize that you've davened while you're in the middle of that second Shmona Esrei, shut it down right then and there. V'yeshrin and halacha. And if it would have just said the second case, mishum dalo aschil ba. Because ultimately, again, you haven't yet started the Shmona Esrei. Aval hasam da aschil ba. But in the first case, where you began already the Shmona Esrei, emalo, I might have thought that maybe we don't tell a person to stop in that situation. Therefore, tzvicha. Therefore, we'll say both cases are necessary. So, halacha lemaisa. If you're davening and you realize that you davened already, you stop the tefillah right then and there. Rabbi say, by Shabbos, halacha also follows the Gemara said that if you're davening Shmona Esrei and you realize that you have begun a weekday bracha, you finish the bracha, ultimately again, and then revert back to Shabbos davening. We'll see what to do with this last halacha over here, that you davened already, you find that the tzibur is davening, you want to daven again with the tzibur, we'll see what to do with the halach at a later time. So the Gemara says as follows. Gemara goes weiter. Listen to this case. A person comes to shul, and rachmana litzlan lo aleinu, a person comes late. And what happens? Now no one comes this late. Right? This is the find that tzibur is davening shmona esrei. No one comes this late to davening. It's mamish a bizayon. Bizayon shebizayonis. Chas v'shalom, pu lo aleinu. A better case. A person is not coming late. A person is davening kriyashma with so much kavana. And what happens? They fall behind the tzibur. The point over here is, I am lagging behind the tzibur. So what happens? Anichnas lebeis haknesses. It's not true, really. The Gemara says, Anichnas lebeis haknesses means you came late. So ultimately, again, first it comes into shul so late. Umat the tzibur should respond. They find the tzibur is davening shmona esrei. So I will say, so what do I do? Im yochol lahaschiv ligmor atchol yagia shatz lemodim yispalo. If you can begin shmona esrei and finish it before the chazin gets to modim in chazaras hashatz, then start. Ve'im lav, but if not, al yispalo. Don't start to daven. Wait for Chazar Sashatz. Answer Modin together with the Kehila. And then ultimately do your own Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says no. He says, Im yochol lahaschiv v'ligmor ad shelo yagia shatz l'kedusha yispalo. Ve'im lav al yispalo. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no. You know what it's about? It's all about Kedusha. If you can go ahead and start and finish Shmona Esrei before the Tzibor gets up to Kedusha, then you should start. If not, wait for Chazar Sashatz, wait for Kiddusha, and then after Kiddusha is over, then begin your Shmona Esrei. To which the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Mar Savra Yachid Omer Kiddusha, Umar Savra Ein Yachid Omer Kiddusha. I will say they're arguing about whether or not the individual has the ability to recite Kiddusha. Now, what does it mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rafuna Savar, Rafuna holds, Yachid Hamispalo Imatzibor Omer Kadosh. Hilchach im lo gamar actually agia shatz lekadosh leslan ba ava modim ava pishyach nomer modim im eno omre matzibor haroas. So let's listen to this. So ultimately, again, the shaila is: could a person in their private shmona esrei go ahead and recite modim? Could a person do that? So one opinion says yes, one opinion says no. So therefore, again, I will say the opinion that says yes says that ultimately we're not worried about kedusha because you can answer kedusha wherever you are. What are we worried about? We're worried about modim because what's the problem with modim? If you're at a different place than the tzibur, that means when the tzibur bows down for modim and you're not bowing with them, that's problematic. So you see this theme about doing things that separate you from the rest of the tzibur. The other opinion holds that no, that ultimately, again, the yachid has to be able to say kiddusha, and if the yachid doesn't say kiddusha, you should wait to start Shmona Esrei. Well, so how do we paskin lahalacha? We paskin lahalacha like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that if you come late to shul and the tzibur started Shmona Esrei, again, sometimes it's hard to gauge this, but Lamaisa, the ikar is to be able to say kiddusha with the tzibur. So if ultimately, again, you could start and you could finish by the time that the tzibur gets up, by the time the Chazar Sashat gets up to kiddusha, then start. Then start. By all means, daven. But if Lamaisa, again, you're concerned that you're going to be in the middle of your Shmona Esrei when they're saying kiddusha, then wait for Chazar Sashat, wait for kiddusha, and then daven. Say kiddusha with the tzibur, and then begin your Shmona Esrei afterwards. V'chin amar Rav Abba bar Abba, minayin sheni yachid omer kiddusha. How do I know, Rabosei? Now, Rabosei, this is a little bit different. He's saying, how do I know that an individual cannot recite kiddusha? In other words, Rabosei, that kiddusha is a function of a minyan. You cannot recite kiddusha by yourself. Rabosei, this is actually incredible. This is probably one of the most important gemaras in all of Shas. Shenemar, not because of kiddusha, which you'll see why. Shenemar, v'nikdashi b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Rabosei, the pasuk says, I will be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. B'soch b'nei Yisrael. The Gemara learns that from here. Called davar shebikdusha lo yeh pachos mi'asara. Rabosei, what does this teach us? This teaches us that any matter of holiness cannot be done with less than 10 men. So Rabosei, the concept of minyan derives ultimately from this pasuk, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. I will be sanctified from within the midst of the Jewish people. Within the midst teaches me that halacha l'maisi, you require a minyan for any davar shebikdusha. The Jewish Gemara says, how do you get that? Right? How did you learn that? My mashma, Rabosei, here we go. Ditani Rabbi Noi, achud Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, asya toch toch. Make a gzir shavav toch toch. How so? Ksif hacha, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Rabosei, it says over here that what? I shall be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. Uksif hasam, watch this. Hi badlu mitoch ha'eda hazos. Separate yourself from this eda. Rabosei, what is this a reference to? The miraglim. Now, Rabosei, now watch this. Just like by the Meraglin, there were 10. Rabbi said there are really 12. But who's the Eid Hara? Who's the Mitoch Eidah? Remember, this is minus what? The Meraglin minus Yoshua and Kalev. So just like Eidah, just like Ibadlu Mitoch HaEidah, as also refers to 10. Ma'alahalon Asara, Afkan Asara. So too, again, Rabbi says, see here, this incredible Gzirah Shava. V'nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, Ibadlu Mitoch HaEidah. Just like Toch by the Meraglim means 10, so too Toch by Mnikdash Yusuf by Israel means 10 also. Rabbi said, do you understand what this means? That the concept of a minion is learned out from where? The Meraglim. And Rabbi said, which Meraglim is a minion learned out from? The bad Meraglim. You'll excuse me, right? The Rishon 10, which Rabbi said tells you something incredible. That even the worst Russian on Israel, right, that even the worst miragel, right, even the worst miragel, still has the ability to bring down the Shekhinah. Still has the ability, ultimately, again, to engage in Kedusha. We'll say the very concept of a minion. A minion is at the cornerstone of the Kedusha of Am Yisrael. We don't do anything without a minion. I'll say, think about this, right, ultimately, again, in order to be born, you need a minion, right? Bris Mila, it's ideal to have a minion, right? Naming a baby girl, we do it. I mean, Kriyas HaTorah, right? In order to get married, you need a minion. In order to die, right? And say Kaddish and Kalmali, you need a minion. Everything in life requires a minion. You want to make a Siyam, you need a minion. Everything needs a minion. And I will say, where is that minion learned out from? Toch, from the Meraglim. The incredible Mussar, that ultimately, no matter how debased you are, no matter how much you mess up in life, no matter how many wrong turns you make, at the end of the day, you still have the ability, if you choose, to bring down the Shekhinah. Such an incredible idea. So we'll say ultimately, but everyone agrees that what? That if you are in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you do not stop to recite Kiddusha. We will say this is an incredibly important idea. That Allah said, if you are in the middle of Shemona Esrei, unless you're behind the Chazan, you don't stop to answer Kiddusha. What you do is, you stop your davening, in other words, you pause, you don't daven forward while the Tzibur is reciting Kiddusha. You stop, you pause where you are, you do not answer, and you stay like that until the end of Kiddusha. Ibailu, we'll say another interesting Kasha. It will say, what about in Shemona Esrei? Can you go ahead and be mafsi? Can you stop? The answer is Yehi Shmei Rabba. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Av Rab Shimon, Tamid, Rabbi Yochanan, Amri, Lakon in mafsikin, Chutz min Yehi Shmei Agadol Mavorach, Shafilu Osik, B'masa Merkava, Posik. I'm supposed to listen to this. So you have Rav Dimi, Sinan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rab Shimon. Ultimately, again, Yehi Shmei Rabba is so important that you interrupt everything for Yehi Shmei Rabba. Also, even if you're learning Ma'aseh Merkava, right? Ma'aseh Merkava is considered to be amongst the most esoteric portions of the Torah. So you, apparently, again, according to this opinion, you would be mafsik in Shemona Esrei even to answer Amin Yehi Shmei Rabba, but less Hilchasakavas. So you both say that Halacha does not follow this opinion. We do not interrupt Shemona Esrei even to answer Amin Yehi Shmei Rabba. So in other words, we both say in Shemona Esrei, you don't interrupt for anything. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Varech Lefrein Lachareim. So as Rabbi Yehuda said, that ultimately again you make brachas before and after. Talking about Baal Keri. Remember the Kasar Rabbi Yehuda, Baal Keri Mutar B'Divrei Torah. But says Rabbi Yehuda saying ultimately that a Baal Keri is permitted to learn Torah. V'amar Rabbi Shimon Levi Minayin L'Baal Keri Sha'as Rabbi Divrei Torah. How do I know that a Baal Keri is not permitted to learn Torah? Sh'ne'emar V'hodatun L'vanech V'levnevanecha. The pasuk says you shall instruct your children, which the Gemara is understanding as a pasuk that refers to learning Torah. V'samich Lei Yom Asher Amarata L'vnei Asher L'Lecha B'chorim. Like the day that you stood before God by Mount Sinai. Ma'la alon Baal Keri Nasur, and just like by Har Sinai, a Baal Keri was not permitted to approach or engage. Afkan Baal Keri on Asurin. So Rabbi Yehuda said, contemporarily, the Gemara says that ultimately, again, a Baal Keri is not permitted to engage in Torah either. So how could Rabbi Yehuda says that he's making brachas before and then afterwards? V'chitema, Rabbi Yehuda lo darsh smuchin. So say, maybe you'll say Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin. Rabbi Yehuda said the concept of smuchin refers to the concept of darshaning juxtapositions. That placement of particular concepts in the Torah is not random, but rather ultimately, again, they are methodical and premeditated. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda does not darshan smuchin. Va'am Rav Yosef, afilu man lo darsh smuchin b'chala Torah, b'mishna Torah darish. Even those who don't darshan smuchin on the rest of the Torah, darshan smuchin where? In Chumash Tevarim, known as Mishnah Torah. Rabbi Yehuda lo darsh smuchin b'chala Torah kula, because Rabbi Yehuda himself did not darshan smuchin in the rest of Torah, or b'mishna Torah darish, but yet in Tevarim he did darshan. In the rest of Torah, here we go. The pasuk says you should not allow machashefa to live. What's a machashefa? Good. Don't say your mother-in-law. Right. So let's say, so ultimately again, a sorceress. A sorceress cannot be allowed to live, right? You have to kill a sorceress. V'nemar kol shochid v'mehema mos yumas. Anyone who engages in bestiality is put to death. So the Gemara says, samcha inyon lo, ultimately, again, why is a machashefa juxtaposed to bestiality? Lomar mashochid v'mehem b'skila. Just like a person engages in an act of bestiality, the punishment is skila. Af machashefa na'im b'skila. So to a machashefa is also put to death with skila. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chim ipnesha samchu inyan lo notzi la skila. Just because they're juxtaposed, you're going to kill the machashefa with skila. Doesn't make sense. Ella, rather Rabbi Yehuda says like this, ovi yedoni b'chla hayu, b'chla kol mechafshin hayu. But say ovi yedoni, who are different types of sorcerers, were included in the general prohibition of machashefa lo sechaya. V'lama yatsu, and why? So why were they singled out? L'hakish lohen, v'lomar ma ovi yedoni b'skila, af machashefa b'skila. To teach us that just like an ovi yedoni is b'skila, so to a machashefa is b'skila. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yehuda ends up learning out the same result, which is that a machashefa ultimately, again, is b'skila, but learns it out in a different way. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin. So the Gemara is going to suggest that even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin ultimately, again, by the rest of Torah, does darshan smuchin ultimately by Mishnah. Rabbi, so we'll have to stop over here, and we're stopping mid-topic. We'll, Amir Tashem, continue this sugya b'shah Tov Masachas tomorrow afternoon. Rabbi, so the Parsha Tov was already recorded. It's on the podcast, and we'll post it, Amir Tashem, to the WhatsApp as well. A good Shabbos. I think the next topic is a serious question. Rashi, will you post the just the Parsha Tov to the WhatsApp? You don't have to post all the stuff. Right, you saw it. It's on the website. It's on the podcast already. What? No. The Daf Misgilas Hasharim and Parsha Thought.
None.
Shulchan Aruch says we repealed it. Okay, we're going to see Mefurash Halacha that they already beforehand they repealed it.